You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome back to the MMA Fighting YouTube page. UFC Vegas 22 is officially in the books, and it was capped off by the fourth consecutive victory from Derek Brunson. Defeats Kevin Holland in the main event via unanimous decision. 49-46, 49-45s were the scorecards, and Kevin Holland's win streak comes to an end. Derek Brunson moves on to bigger and better things as we welcome you to our post-fight show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck, joined by the whole crew. We got Jose, we got AK, we got EKC Leiden, and we got all of you to react to what we just saw.
Tweet.
Yes. What did we just see, AK?
Oh, well, I tweet. Like, what did we stall while I tweet. Oh, okay.
You're tweeting? All right.
No. We saw a good performance from Derek Brunson. It wasn't a great performance. I'm not saying it was the most exciting fight ever, but let's give credit to Derek Brunson. Much, I think, of the pre-fight predictions were Brunson is a superior wrestler. I mean, Holland even has said in interviews that, you know, he's a good wrestler. He knows he's a good wrestler. And we said if Brunson can implement his wrestling game, it's his fight to lose. And certainly he did. He got caught a few times. Holland had some really nice moments, you know, which we've seen in the past. We know how exciting that guy can be in the feet. We saw a lot of his personality. But, yeah, but before we get into any other, like, criticisms from anyone or break down any details of the fight, Brunson won. Credit to him. Again, maybe it's not going to win Brunson a lot of new fans, but four straight wins in the middleweight division, that's huge. And he keeps himself in line for what he wants, which is a top five opponent. So props to him.
There you go. All three judges gave Derek Brunson the first four rounds. Mike Bell gave Derek Brunson a 10-8 in the first.
Fair. Easily a 10-8. Yeah. Actually, I kind of saw round three going to Holland, actually, because I thought he was doing... a lot of damage.
Round two.
Yeah. One of the rounds, I thought Holland was actually almost doing more damage from the bottom, but I still gave it to Brunson. But I thought maybe a judge would give it to him. But yeah,
I gave Holland round two because Brunson ended up on top and ended the round on top, but Holland hurt him. He dropped
him.
Which
is the round?
I thought for sure he won the
round. Which is the one where you're stuck in an arm triangle for like 3 minutes.
That was round two. Then
that was. Was it the first round?
No, that was round.
That was the second.
For round, Derek Brunson just had that arm triangle in for like 3 minutes and would squeeze and squeeze. I gave that Derek Brunson, but I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, I thought that was easy Brunson's round too.
100%.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when you get dropped, it kind of
he didn't get dropped, that's the thing. But
that's a knockdown.
I think I think Derek Brunson overextended and Kevin Holland just slapped him, and Derek Brunson was on his way down anyway. But doesn't matter.
Derek Brunson won anyway.
We can argue rounds all we want. The right man won. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to complain about that. But like we said in the preview show, like we said earlier, if Derek Brunson was going to win, that's how he was going to do it. He was going to take him down. He was going to, you know, use his size, keep him on his back. I don't know. Kevin Holland, kind of a awkward, bizarre performance overall. I mean, Brunson used his size, was able to keep him down, but I don't know. Like a lot of the things I kept seeing on Twitter was Brunson or Holland wasn't taking this fight seriously at all.
What the?
Does anybody like buy into that?
That's the stupidest thing. What are you talking about? So like he was goofing, laughing, making funny jokes. There was like a video that ESPN MMA Twitter made or whatever. It got like 6,000 billion views of Kevin Holland joking around and fights and everything. And he does the same thing when he loses. And now all of a sudden he's not taking it serious. That's just stupid. It's like, that's who he is. That's just like, he's going to smile in his wins. He smiles in his losses. I don't understand what are you talking about? He was like... He fought five rounds, 25 minutes of a much larger man. He fought the toughest opponent he's ever gone against. I know he beat Jacare, but I think at this point in their career, Derek Brunson is better than Jacare. I thought Kevin Holland actually fought a great fight. It's just Derek Brunson's better. I have no idea what people are talking about.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I think people were a little, I think are right to be somewhat disturbed by a lack of urgency I think there certainly appear to be a lag. And again, this is just how it looks, Casey. I think if you look at the optics of it, we know how Kevin Holland is, and I guess anyone who's a fan of his leading up to this fight should have expected this. But at the same time, as you get to the later rounds, it is discouraging, I think, if you're a Holland supporter or you're a fan of Holland, to see him just kind of like, well, guys, you know what? He's speaking you down. What am I supposed to do? And it's like, I think people would want to see a little more desperation, a little more urgency, and a little less chatter. Just a little less chatter. I think when you're talking that much and you're losing, it doesn't look good. I'm not saying we haven't seen it before from Holland, but I'm saying it doesn't look good. I don't think it looked good before in fights where he lost either and talked a lot. So I think some of the criticism is more than fair.
He won the last round. I was like, you talk about, you mean urgent? I mean, he won the last round. He was throwing,
But he needed to, but he lost the fight. He thought he's going to lose the fight.
When I was watching, I think a lot of his, like when he'd get stuck on the ground or he'd get the clincher, he'd clip Derek Brunson. He would just stop at, he would not progress anything. And he was having fun, which is obviously, you're supposed to have fun in there. It's all fun and games and this and that. But like, I was watching, like as his coach, I'm just like, Kevin, all right, we're having fun. Let's finish this process. You can laugh about it later, but I get what Alex is saying and I get what you're saying, but I just feel like at some points, like when he got the body triangle and he started to move and then he just started to laugh about it, I was like, okay, finish it. I'm not your coach and I'm getting frustrated that you're not finishing it. So that's just, I think that's where, if I'm a big Kevin Holland supporter or I'm his coach, whatever, that's where my frustration is coming from.
I thought Kevin Holland fought the best to his abilities. Like you're saying, he has to have fun. All the guys that win fights, what do they say in the post-fight interview? You know what? I just went out there and had fun, and that's why I won.
And we're saying Kevin Holland, too much fun. No, I'm not saying too much fun. I'm saying if you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you can have fun 1 through 5, but don't stop at 2. Like I felt like he was stopping at 2 and still have, and he was like happy to stop at 2. I'm like, oh nope, keep going. It's not about the whole fun joking thing. It was more of like the technique wise, he was just not there. Like when he got the clinch, he just got the clinch. And then I was like, all right, do something. And then Derek Brunson just unloaded with a bunch of uppercuts. I was like, Kevin Holland could have avoided all of that, but it is what it is.
I think it goes back to Derek Brunson being a very, very underrated middleweight.
He's the most underrated middleweight in the world, and he got clipped a lot against Kevin Holland. Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever got devastatingly hurt, but I feel like there were moments. Like, I can't remember what round it was. Remember when Kevin Holland said he wanted to win by – he predicted an uppercut would finish it, and then he clipped Derek Brunson and then just came in with this insane uppercut and just missed completely, and Derek Brunson took him down.
And Bisping's like, you got to be more urgent. You got to go for the kill. And when he does go for the kill, it opens up. It's a give and take all the time. I agree with what you're saying, Jose. I agree.
It was just the technique. It's all the technique. Like he didn't need to. It's like when you throw a lazy leg kick. Like the technique. Like you're a great fighter. You just do a lazy leg kick, lazy uppercut. That's what I was more frustrated to watch it, because Kevin Holland is better than that. He just wouldn't progress more in his combinations and techniques.
I think what was interesting was we actually got to they didn't go to commercial between the fourth and fifth round. So we got to see Kevin Holland talk to his coaches, and his coaches were telling him like, you got to finish. And he was like, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. You could see like, even though he was smiling, he was frustrated. Like Derek Brunson frustrated him, and you could see it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the clapper sounded and they're ready to go back out there, Brunson just put his smile back on his face and was like, all right, let's go. It's like the conversation never happened. But what can you do? Derek Brunson, perfect game plan. Did what he needed to do. Won the fight. Good on him.
That was the most important part. Yeah.
I am so impressed that Kevin Holland got out of that arm triangle too. I thought that was a wrap.
That one really confused me. I got to talk to my coach about that, because I didn't understand why Brunson didn't get it. Like, I was like, dude, flatten your hips. But something was, I don't know, maybe Brunson didn't have the right grip or something that I can't tell.
And Casey, maybe you could speak on it more because you're more of a cinematographer and camera person than me. It was a weird angle during that whole arm triangle too. It was like from the top of their heads.
Yeah.
Like it was right there, so you could literally only see the arms and the head. You couldn't really see any of their hips or legs or anything. And I just kept, I'm like, all right, step over and flatten out. Is he flattening out? I can't tell. But like any, regardless, I am super impressed that Kevin Holland basically just Derek Lewis his way out of that and stood up.
Yeah, I actually I got to look at it again. I don't understand why Brunson didn't get that choke in. I don't know what I was. Maybe it was the angle. I just couldn't see something. It was different with the grip or something. But I was like, oh, I was almost pulling in my mind. I was like, kind of pulling a Rogan, like it's over. But no.
Oh, I 100%. I won 100%. I was like, well, that's a wrap. Good luck getting out of that.
Credit to Kevin Holland. He was doing something. He was definitely doing something correct in there.
Here's like Kevin Holland said a lot of interesting things on What the Heck when I talked to him. But the most interesting thing that really like stuck out to me even during that fight was he talked about the move to 170. Like he talked about it. He's talked about it for like a couple of years now. I remember interviewing him before UFC Boston. And he said he wanted to drop to 170. And then even last year, he talked about dropping to 170. But hearing him talk about it this time around, I actually believed it, especially watching this fight, because he said, I have no discipline at 185. Like I don't have to cut any weight. I just show up. I eat what I want. I do what I want. I could show up and weigh 183 or 184 or 185. 170 will give me discipline. I need discipline. And in the post fight, he said, I'm going to get a nutritionist, move to 170. And then he called up Bilal Muhammad.
Oh, he did say it. Oh, I didn't hear the post fight. He said that?
Yeah. Then he called up Bilal.
Oh, good for Kevin Holland.
He should go to 170. I think that fight kind of gave him everything he needed. I think by like the third round, he was like, this dude's too big. I'm going to 170.
Yeah.
Man. Any authority nutritionist? Like, they just did a whole package where he said he blows all his money on stickers and cards.
And now
he probably made $1 million. He's a millionaire after last year. No doubt about it. So I'm sure he could afford it.
He made some cash last year. Yeah. But yeah, I think this was, look, we talk about, you know, we prefer using the term litmus test over gatekeeper, right? So if you want to look at Derek Brunson as at least relative to Kevin Holland, a litmus test, this was it. This is his litmus test of 185. Maybe this is as high as Holland can go in 185. Again, size is definitely a factor, especially dealing with wrestlers like Brunson. And again, I think 170, if he can make it, and he certainly says he can. He's fought at 170 before. But I'm glad he took this run at 185. Look, he went 5-0 at 185 last year. It's very hard to do. I don't care who you're fighting. Maybe this is it. Maybe he takes this fight and says, okay, 170 is it. But there was no shame in taking this fight and, you know, having his first main event at 185. And so now we'll see what's next for him. But 170 makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, zero shame. I mean, I see people in the comments going like, Holland sucks, you know, Brunson's boring. I was like, no, this is MMA. Like, Holland was very good. This is two elite middleweights. I think Holland is a very good middleweight. I don't know if he's elite. Size matters. That's like we learned that last week or a couple weeks ago with Izzy and Jan. It's just like, you know, technique and, you know, just better fighting skills can only go so far. Size is going to play a factor in. But I think to me, though, what I wanted to talk about too, what really impressed me of Brunson was when he did get hit with those shots, the Brunson from 3-4 years ago would have folded. This Derek Brunson stayed composed. He backed up, regained himself and was able to shoot under, get the takedowns and stuff and kind of slow the fight down. Like when the fight got crazy in the past, Derek Brunson would get crazier. And Derek Brunson just doesn't have the chin to get that crazy. And it really impressed me that Derek Brunson wasn't afraid to be boring and just get that W, because that is what matters.
The Brunson we saw is the Brunson that we interviewed on all those dominance days, Casey.
Yeah.
The
one he's a different guy. He's a different guy.
He is. That Izzy fight was so – I don't want to say it's the best thing that happened to him, but that's like the biggest thing, that's like the biggest change. The biggest of evolution we see from Derek Brunson was after that Izzy fight.
I'm not going to say Derek Brunson is going to be like middleweight champ or anything, but I do think of a lot of like Jan Blachowicz. Like Jan had some bad losses early in his UFC career, just didn't look good, and I dismissed him. I just like, okay, he's a mid-tier 205er, whatever. You know, we'll see him. He might come up down, but you know, whatever. And obviously, you know, he's an extremely good, the best. He's the champ right now. He's the best 205er in the world, and at least in the UFC right now. And I think for a lot of fans, they think of the old Derek Brunson. This Derek Brunson is much better. He just fights smarter. And he might not be as exciting or whatever, but he is a very, very good middleweight. And he's a tough out for anyone. And if he fights Izzy again or fights Whitaker or one of those top guys again, it'll be a hell of a fight.
He called out Paulo Costa after the win.
Love it.
Wouldn't mind seeing that.
Makes sense. I think that's perfect. Smart call out.
Great call out.
I agree. Smart. Still waiting on bonuses. I haven't seen anything yet. But
can we play that game?
Yeah, we can play that game. Are we gonna have right. a, the yeah, first right. first question? First question I'll ask: will we have a fight of the night?
No.
No.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
I think we got to give out performance bonuses.
Yeah.
I think we have to give out performance bonuses, which is a shame.
All right, so I thought
the Chiazza Bruno fight was really fun.
That would be the fight of the night for sure. So we had Bruno Silva. Yeah.
Which fight?
Chiazza and Renault was a great fight.
I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Silva had a finish. Montel Jackson had a finish. Grant Dawson had a finish. There's no way he doesn't get a bonus.
Right.
Adrian Yanez got a finish. Tai Tuivasa got a finish. Max Griffin got a finish.
You gotta go. Okay, oh, go ahead.
You Casey, go, what do you think? I'll go first.
I'll go. You go.
No, you go, sir.
No, you. No, you.
I got Griffin, Yanez, Dawson, and Jackson.
Anybody disagree with Casey?
Casey and his quality of competition qualifier. No, sir. I am Tai Tuivasa deserves a bonus for his 49-second knockout of poor Harry Hunsucker, who literally came off the couch 3 days ago for this fight. I don't care. I would put Griffin, Yanez, Tuivasa, and Dawson. Sorry, Montel. So Montel Jack.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is a three, like only three bonuses, not four.
Whoa.
If it was Dawson, Griffin, and probably Yanez, but it is what it is.
And can I just say,
still waiting to hear.
As someone's much as getting screwed. Everyone loves Dawson's knockout. I'm okay with him not getting a bonus because that was just plain, just horrible fight IQ by Mr. Leo Santos. I'm a big Leo Santos fan. I was like, dude, what are you doing, man?
Am I wrong?
Well, listen, he would have lost anyways.
He would have got his way, but put your hands up, man. Like, put your hands. I was like, I get it. He was maybe just super tired. The man's 41 years old, and he was just running on fumes at that point. And just, great on Dawson, though. I mean, it was pretty dang brutal. And, credit to the ref. Was the ref that we all love? Tayoni, yeah. Make sure that Dawson gets that extra hammer fist so that mouthpiece flies out.
I will say he could have obviously jumped in there sooner, but I do think he, and I know he shouldn't do this. He, I think, just was assumed the round was about to end. And also it's weird because Santos's legs, as you see, were still kind of tied up with Dawson's. So he was still kind of, it almost looked like he was for something. I don't know. No, Tony, and we've criticized him before, but I did not think this was the worst stoppage. I wish he had gotten in there and saved Santos from two like super, super bad shots after, but I think it's almost somewhat excusable. And I think they did a really good job. I think he was on the Tuivasa Hunsucker stoppage as well. I think he was the one on that and he jumped right in there. So Tayoni, maybe not the most consistent referee, but I didn't think he was horrible tonight.
Oh, it wasn't horrible. It was just,
we have bonuses. Unfortunate.
Okay.
For Leonardo.
All right, what are they?
Max Griffin.
I can't pick that one. Did I say Griffin? I said Griffin.
Yeah, you did.
Adrian Yanez.
Has to be Yanez.
Yeah, of course. Beautiful. Such a sweet knockout.
Grant Dawson.
What's the fourth one?
And the fourth, Bruno Silva.
Bruno Silva.
Oh, sure.
It was good. You know what? Bruno Silva, he was a big underdog, right, coming into this fight, right?
Massive. He was one of the big underdogs.
Yeah. If he had lost, 3-1 on his job.
Okay. I think Baze was a 3-1 favorite, wasn't it? Wasn't JP? I was saying
if Bruno Silva lost, he was going to lose his job.
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, definitely. That's no question.
When I say underdog, I'm not even talking about betting. Like,
okay, I'm going and tap all
it. It was slight for JP.
Bruno Silva was a +115 underdog.
But 82%
of people on
Topology. What were the odds on a knockout win, though?
Oh, that was
Bruno's not. Those are, but Bruno's not really a striker.
Let me see. I will look it up right now. Civil wins by Civil wins by TKO KO plus 550.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he's not a striker.
Unlikely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's like price JP too.
So many nice things to know Silva before the fight. How did I let you guys talk me into a JP pick? Who did that? Who was it?
That guy up there.
I mean, it was definitely this guy, number one. Definitely this guy, number one.
I would have had a perfect night. I would have had a perfect night of picks if it wasn't for that guy.
I swear you did too. I swear you were hyping up JP buys too. I swear.
Me?
It wasn't me.
I
just listened to you guys. I'm easily influenced. You guys know this.
I know that.
I can't be blamed for any of my picks.
I picked Montserrat. I thought Montserrat was going to beat Cheyenne.
Different Bruno Silva. That was a different guy. That was a different guy that we've seen. That was impressive.
He looked good.
If that guy shows up the rest of the way, he's a problem.
I will say though,
seeing his corner
to give JP a little maybe an excuse, because I'm not sure. I don't know how much did eye poke and groin shot affected him.
Oh. Right, so, in the first minute.
So, hey, credit to Bruno, because everyone knows your first groin shot, your first eye poke are completely legal in MMA. Completely legal.
Yeah, but I thought he was rushing it, though. I thought, Bruno, you got to space these apart. You use the first one to gain an advantage, and then if JP starts coming back and you wait till round two, then you throw in the groin kick. But he's just like, no, eye poke, groin kick right away. And I'm like, I don't know. But maybe it is. Maybe, hey, he won the fight. I didn't, so...
150.
I'm not gonna tell this man how to use his fouls.
Dude, he kicked him in, the groin, poked his eyes out, and the UFC goes, "Hey, here's $50,000. You're welcome.
You went from almost losing your job to an extra $50,000 in your pocket, buddy. That's not bad.
And the two big favorites did not get bonuses. Montel Jax was the biggest favorite on the card.
Oh, he was. Okay, you know what?
Ty Tuivasa was the second biggest favorite on the card.
Okay, I said Jackson for the KO bonus. I forgot I forgot the guy was late notice. I want to retract that and give it to Bruno Silva. I did. I forgot that guy came in like 2 days notice. And that guy, oh man, I don't like talking bad about professional fighters.
He has
bad
tattoos.
Yeah, well, I could go for 90%, but that guy did not look UFC ready. The guy that Montel Jackson beat.
I think Montel Jackson's really good.
Scary guy, too.
That's what Montel, I mean. Like, Montel Jackson is a very good guy, and the other guy just, yeah.
I think they'll give Strader another chance. Hopefully match him up with someone closer to his experience. That was only his seventh pro fight, I think. So if they give him another chance, hopefully they find someone a little more even. Because, Montel is not someone to mess around with and not someone to fight in your first UFC fight on short notice. No.
He looks so. I love how chill he fights, man. Like, he looks like he's never.
And his interview.
He's just so chill.
His interview, too. Yeah. He's very relaxed. Relaxed. He's, again, 135 is just absolutely insane right now.
How about, who's the guy that Ty Tuivasa just beat?
Hunsucker.
Oh, my God. He can never have another job anywhere else with those tattoos. He has a chain link fence. He has a cross. He has a tap out logo. He has cartoon bulldogs on his shoulder blades.
Woo!
What other job can he have?
Okay, the Bulldogs, I think they weren't the Carlson Gracie logo. I wasn't sure if that was what it was.
No idea.
It was just literally a Bulldog. Okay.
I don't even know. They were like cartoon Bulldogs, so you could be right, but.
Jose, what's the assessment of Conejo?
Can you turn your mic up a little bit? Is it low? Or is
my mic?
Is it possible? It's just coming low in my feed. Just a tiny. Oh yeah, just
better.
Yeah, that's fine. There you go. Thank you.
There you go. All right, Jose. What's the assessment of Conejo's dealie? She got a lot of upper body almost entirely covered.
Good lord.
So, yeah. What's up?
No. All right. Hold on. So
I don't know anything about tattoos.
I had a friend who's over here watching, and he's also pretty heavily into tattoos. And we were trying to figure out what was going on because she had some the source material on her body. I would never get, but they are so well done. Like, they had Pennywise. Looks like she had Count Chocula. looks like she had an alien. Who's the clown from House of a Thousand Corpses?
That clown.
Balding.
Yeah. Balding. They're not my style, but they are so well done. Like even the Phoenix on her leg, she had the rabbit. They like 10 out of 10 tattoos in terms of the application, but the source material is not my thing. But yeah, awesome. Awesome.
Hey, man, it fits her style. I want, yeah.
We were talking about her throat tattoo is like, we call it, like my friend Miguel and I, we call it Cholo font, where it's like old, it's bubbly old English that you see a lot of Cholos have. So we were like, hey, it looks like all my cousins have that same font in that same location. So yeah, she's awesome art, and that fight was nuts.
Yeah, it was a good fight.
I'm going to follow you home, bitch.
I'm going to someone on
oh my gosh.
Someone on Reddit posted it. I don't have it in front of me, but they were like, "Well, this like her interview, like Cheyenne Bayes' interview aged terribly because she kept saying, I know exactly what she's going to do and I'm going to stop it." I'm like, and she did the same thing.
Dude, that was
three rounds.
What was that we saw a fight like that? Card fights. Like we're like
guys, that was on ESPN. That fight was on ESPN. That had a high placement on ESPN.
Thank
you know
God.
How strange that would have been for people who either have never seen UFC before or haven't seen it in a long time. Or just like, I'm going to check. Oh, UFC is on ESPN now. I'm going to check this out. And then see the, what the hell is going on? Is this woman like winning this fight with this? Has she had her on the ground in a headlock for like 10 minutes? What is going on right now? It was strange. I see a lot of people asking about it in the various questions about it in the comments. So I guess we better just address it now. So post fight, so here's what I just saw. It was a very frantic ending. You know, Cheyenne who was on top at the end? Was it Cheyenne or
Montserrat was on top.
Montserrat. So Cheyenne was throwing a lot. I mean, from the bottom, you know, she knew that there was like whatever 5 seconds left. She's throwing from the bottom, whatever, which is kind of cool. You know, go for the wild ass Hail Mary. Who knows, right? And then people are saying, and then you see kind of Montserrat dip down. I thought she was just like shouting at her and saying something. And I saw the replay a couple of times, and there's people saying that she spat on Cheyenne. I do not think she did. I'm pretty sure. Again, I saw it. There's a very clear high definition replay of like a face on shot of Montserrat. I think you would know if she spat on her. I'm sure we'll do interviews with some of these fighters and get the story, whatever their story is. I'm going to say there was no spitting. That's my official stance right now. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Maybe I just didn't see it. I don't think there was. Either way, she definitely got in her face in a way that I don't think Cheyenne liked, and I don't blame her. It was a very heated fight, very frustrating fight for Cheyenne. And then Cheyenne did what will now become one of the great MMA lines as it ages. Casey, what was it again?
I'll follow you home, bitch.
That's the new
fighting is a I'm a filling. What is it?
That's yeah. Well,
yeah. Two of the best.
This isn't political. This isn't political. This is Monster Energy.
But yeah. Quite a debut for Conejo, though. I mean, that was. I thought she almost got that scarf hold again that she got that she won that she beat Mirandon with.
She went for it like 30 times. It was great.
It was amazing how many times she got that headlock takedown. I was just like, and I just can't imagine the frustration for Cheyenne Bayes and her team. It just must have been maddening. But
yeah,
hopefully live and learn, right,
dude? But that is MMA. I mean, I'm serious. Like that's MMA. Like, learn every dang thing, every dang submission, every dang takedown, every dang type of clinch, every way to get out. You know what? But I don't need to learn the scarf hold or how to get out of it. And that's the one thing she just didn't know the technique for or even anything. And yeah, and she's like, oh, that's how I'm going to lose debut.
It's like when Paul Harris was doing his thing with all those leg locks. Like, I don't care how much you train for it. Like, someone special. Every jiu-jitsu gym or tournament has someone that's good at like one thing that's so good. And that's when you see a lot of these crazy like blue belt, brown belt upsets where they focus on one thing and get really good at one thing.
I'll give Cheyenne a little credit. This was a short notice fight, so she didn't have that much time to prepare for that particular submission hold. But that's literally how Montserrat got into the UFC. That was her last victory, so it wasn't like this came out of nowhere. You know, so it was fun fight.
And look,
fun fight.
Look, even on a higher level, even on a higher level in the main event, it's kind of what we're saying about Holland, right? It's like, do people think Holland doesn't know how to fight off his back? He doesn't know how to use his guard to like, you know, get back up to counter. Of course, he knows how to do all that stuff, but it's different in a fight. And when someone else is so good at imposing their game plan, you know, guess what? Because again, I'm sure there's people saying, oh, I was there. I'm critical of Holland. I didn't like all the talking. I thought he could have fought better. But at the same time, I know he knows how to fight out of his guard. I know he knows how to reverse positions, go for an arm burst off his back. He knows all kinds of jiu-jitsu stuff probably. But he had a wrestler on top. That wrestler had, you know, he knows how to maintain top position really well. There's nothing you do about it once you get in that spot. So that was on a higher level. On a lower level, that's kind of what happened to Cheyenne Bays as well. She fell prey to a hold you don't see very often, but she just didn't have an answer for it. And hopefully, you know, she'll learn from that and we won't see that again.
Yeah, to go from Kay Hansen to Montserrat Ruiz is it's a totally different fight. It's a totally different fight. No disrespect to Kay Hansen, because Kay Hansen is a good fighter too, good young fighter, but Montserrat is just... She's a bulldog, man.
And experience paid. Montserrat has, I think this was her 10th professional fight. She's 9-1. Bays was what, 4-1, right? 4-1, 5-1. Either way, she had less fights. And honestly, she has faced lesser competition, I feel, than Montserrat. And and I think experience really paid off for Montserrat. Too.
Yeah, and at this stage of your career, it can be exponential. You know what I mean? It's not like later when you're comparing a guy who has like 40 fights with 35 fights. The difference between 10 fights and 5 fights or 10 fights and 6 fights, it also depends who you're fighting to. But I'd say a pretty good general rule, 10 fights, 11 fights, 12 fights is way, way different than 4 fights, 5 fights, 6 fights, even 7 fights, right? Especially depending where you're fighting. So yeah, it's exponential early on. And yeah, we did see some of that today.
And that's definitely a type of matchup where I feel like if they fight, I don't know, 4 years from now, they could be both completely different fighters, or like, especially Cheyenne. I think she looked very raw, but I definitely saw the potential that the UFC sees in her. That Mike, no, Mike, when you were very high on her coming into the fight and stuff, and I definitely saw that. It wasn't like who, why is she in the UFC? You definitely saw why Cheyenne is a prospect.
Yeah, she's really good on the feet. Yes. You can tell there's big difference on the feet between those two. But I mean, Montserrat was landing shots too. She's countering very well. So,
Cheyenne is a black belt in Taekwondo?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's really good in a straight line. And then when you get taken off that straight line, you could see it though. Like her flurries were very like linear, which is cool. Like Anthony Pettis is the same type thing, but once you get that line taken away and you're on your back, it's a rough time.
Absolutely. Can we? So, I know we're going to go to questions soon. Can we talk about Yanez at all? Can we talk? I think he was, the most impressive fighter.
There you go.
Is that fair to say? Yes, Jenny. Exactly. How good? Yeah.
Dude,
I'm
sorry. Oh, Jose. You're like, frozen, Jose.
Sorry, am I good?
You're good now.
Am I good?
Yeah, you're back.
All right, yeah, everyone started frozen. I think this was spectacular matchmaking to showcase Yanez, because Lopez isn't going to quit, and it just gave – like, it was just – he just built his highlight reel up to that knockout. And then Lopez obviously is just tough as hell in the preview show. Awesome matchmaking to highlight rising prospects with a really tough fighter that fans, I think, have started to come to know in the last 12 months because he's taken a few fights in Apex. But, yeah, Yanez looked – freaking awesome.
Yeah, I was
crazy, man.
Yeah, I had not seen a aggressive, pretty good striker frozen like that since. It reminded me a little bit of, and this is very high praise for Yanez, who I know is getting compared to a lot of stars, but it reminded me a little bit of Bader Machida, because during the second round of this fight, there was like almost a 3-minute stretch where neither guy throws like anything. A lot of feints, a lot of movement. Lopez bouncing around a lot on the outside. Yanez doing some stance switching, doing some kind of, you know, some misdirection with his hands, things like that. But literally not one single strike throw, no leg kick or anything. And so I kind of like jokingly tweeted out like, oh, I guess we're just not punching anymore. Ha ha ha. Yeah, I'm a funny Twitter guy, you know. But there was a reason for it. Yanez was winning. Yanez knew he was winning the fight. And Lopez had gotten tagged many times up to that point. And in his head, whether he's thinking about it constantly or not, he's like, man, I don't like going in on this guy because every time I get in, it hurts. And sure enough, at the beginning of the third round, I'm sure he's like, I'm down 2-0. I got to go in. And this is, again, if anyone remembers the Bader Machida fight, he did like nothing in the first round. And in the middle of the second round, he's like, you know what? I'm going in. I got to go in. I'm losing.
Yeah.
And just gets murdered by one punch. And same thing happened to Lopez. And guys, watch that punch. Like anyone that listening, watch that punch over and over again. it could not be more perfectly timed. Like, you'll know why Lopez was afraid to approach and afraid to strike. It's like, that is high level stuff. I had not fully bought into the Yanez hype, and then this fight, I'm like, he's definitely ready for a step up in the ring. I know 135 is super deep, but he's ready for a step up because Lopez is a good fighter and just completely outclassed him. That was amazing.
It was really amazing. It was a spectacular counter knockout. It was great.
Oh,
high level.
Wow. Man,
it's crazy watching him land. It was like a Family Guy fight. Like, every time Peter Griffin throws a punch or takes a punch, it gets marked up immediately. And that's what happened with Giannis. Like, every time he touched Gustavo Lopez, there was a new welt or a new cut or a new bump. Like, it was just crazy. Every time he landed, immediate facial lacerations or welts. It was just crazy, man.
He was like, who hit me?
He's
who
a talent. Yeah, he's a talented guy. I saw John suggest Davy Grant. I think you may have saw my thing on Twitter, but Davy Grant has a broken foot. So I don't think we'll see him. I know Giannis wants to fight at 262, which makes all the sense in the world.
Called someone out, right?
He called Nate Maness out, but Nate Maness is fighting Tony Gravely on April 17th. So unless Maness gets like a quick finish and can turn around, but Tony Gravely's a really tough guy to put away quickly. So,
hey, what do you think about?
By the way, I just want to read this. Yeah. Cheyenne Bay has just posted to Instagram, to all my friends and family, I just want to say I'm sorry for losing my cool after the fight. Oh. I have never in my life been spit on by an opponent that I gave nothing but respect to. So she is saying there's a spit. And someone actually who's watching right now, like, posted like a slow-mo of the moment. It's a little sketch.
Sketch for Canelo, you mean. You're saying
why people think there was some saliva flying from
back and to the left. Back and to the left, right, Mike? Back and to the left. There was a magic loogie. Yeah.
She was asked about it.
Oh no.
She was asked about it at her scrum, and Montserrat says she didn't spit on it. But even if she did, I don't think she's gonna say, "Oh yeah, I spit on her."
She might have been just yelling.
Of course I did.
It definitely wasn't one of those lips closed. It wasn't Bisping. Bisping what? Bisping, who did Bisping spit on?
So it's Santiago. Jorge Santiago.
Is it Santiago? Okay.
Jorge Rivera.
I
don't remember.
Yeah.
Jorge Rivera, his corner.
Why did
his corner.
I say that?
Yeah.
Massachusetts own Jorge Rivera.
Yeah.
O'Malley. So there we go. Still, O'Malley beats Almeida. By the way, if O'Malley beats Almeida, there's no way in hell Sean O'Malley's taking that fight. No way.
Nah. What do you think about Yanez Brian Kelleher? Is that crazy?
No.
It's a possibility. I don't know, just saying.
Not about it. Yeah.
Dude, I'd watch bantamweight. You can't F up bantamweight. It's like unless you're Peter Yan, but otherwise, like, no one, like, it's just everything's just great at bantamweight. It's just like
this reminds me of like the last time we saw Fazeev. Remember the last time we saw Fazeev fight? And we're just like, man, put him up against anybody. We're just like, that kind of performance just opens your imagination. You're like, anybody, you know?
Yeah. All right.
What about Umar?
It's Macy Chies. Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
They're never going to have to face. Those are two really legit prospects, and I think it's a little too early for it. But
I don't think you can avoid, like, I don't think you can avoid, like, another prospect, though. I have an idea, which you'll hear tomorrow. On to the next one. Mm-hmm.
Nathaniel Wood would be a scrap.
Well, I hope I'm not going to spoil it right now because Macy should. Oh, are we talking about Macy now, or are we?
Yeah, Macy and Nathaniel Wood.
Now
we're going to talk about Macy.
Other bands.
I hope I'm not spoiling it on the show, Mike, but I'm just saying, hey, you know, I think she's actually, if you get a title shot right now, just say I'm going up to 145 and I want challenging for the featherweight title. Because I'll tell you, there's no one in the line right now. So just like the line, it's like when you go to an amusement park and there's like a really unpopular ride. And it's like, well, no one's in this ride. It's just you either run straight to the front of the line and just go enjoy it.
Guess I'm riding the teacups again.
Or not enjoy it because you're fighting Amanda Nunes at 145, which is not fun for anyone, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with Macy. I mean, move her up, but I don't know who you put her against. I mean, there's really no wrong answer here. I don't know if she gets Kunitskaya. Yeah, I don't think she, maybe Aldana. I don't know.
I think Sarah McMahon. I don't know. Someone, just a name, or Raquel Pennington. I think there's plenty of names. I think Macy got a win tonight, but I don't think there's, it was a good fight, obviously, but I don't think that those three ladies mentioned in this Kunitskaya, Aldana, Ladd, I don't think Macy's, I don't think that's the right matchup.
What about Julia? And Julia Avila.
Oh, well,
that's interesting. Texas versus Oklahoma.
It's a quick turnaround. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Avila wants to get in there real fast.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to rebook the Stolyarenko fight, but just depends on when they do it.
I like the McMahon fight. Yeah. Or Alexis Davis looked pretty good at 135 since jumping back up too.
Yeah.
Caitlin
Vieira.
I forgot about her.
Dude, Alexis Davis, man, I'm telling you, man, she already beat Amanda Nunes and finished her. Alexis Davis is only like one big win away from to see Amanda Nunes kind of avenge her loss.
Yeah, you're right.
Or you can bring back Sarah Kaufman, and you can do Sarah Kaufman versus Macy Chiesa.
Just bring back Sarah Kaufman. Come on.
I'm tired of. You know what? If I just keep going, Sarah Kaufman should never be in the UFC. That's when she'll get in.
Oh, yeah. Jose tells us this all the time. Stop. Yeah. We got to stop asking for things because we're not going to get what we want.
No. Once in a blue moon.
We'll see. 135 is kind of interesting right now because we don't know what the hell's going on. We don't know when Amanda Nunes is going to come back and fight. We'll see. I kind of like the Aspen Ladd Juliana Peña idea. Then we get a contender, and Amanda Nunes can take all the time she needs. I like that idea.
Don't hate it.
So there you go. That was a good fight, though.
Excellent.
The tip of the proverbial cap.
Mary
Renaud,
though, is she? We said this is a win or go home for her. Is she done?
Happy trails, Mary Renaud. Happy trails. Yeah, four straight losses. She's the oldest fighter in the. It was a good fight. I thought it was a good, really good competitive fight. She made a fine showing for herself, but at some point you've lost four straight fights and that's it. That's really, I mean, the match is going to be done with you. So yeah, I think that might be it for Marion Renault in the UFC.
All right.
We shall see.
She has a full-time job too. So she doesn't want to fight anymore. Like, no one.
Yeah.
She has a career. She's a teacher, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is. I think she's like a gym teacher or something. Yeah.
Cool. She is.
Let me find some more questions.
By the way, for those who like just watched the UFC event, like just for the main event and missed the unfortunate news of the day, we found out that UFC 260 is down to title fights. Alexander Volkanovski tested positive for COVID-19. The featherweight title fight between he and Brian Ortega is not happening next Saturday. It is being postponed to a later date. We don't know what that date is. But all the best to Volkanovski. And that kind of like brings up other questions. Like,
big questions. You know,
what happens with Shane Young? What happens with Jamie Mullarkey? Who's supposed to fight Kama Worthy next Saturday? Like, are they still going to be fighting? I don't know. Because they were all together. So I don't know if they're going to pull all those guys or I don't know.
There are lots of questions about that. Because so do we know if Riddell the one that has COVID or someone just in their camp?
We don't know.
Yeah. That's so weird. It's just weird how the UFC doesn't say these things, but I mean, they're injuries. I mean, they're out of the fight. I mean, so, but if they flew, so they were in New Zealand or Australia, to get on that plane, they had to be COVID free. They landed, they get tested, and somehow they got COVID in the UFC bubble. That's not good. You know, or whatever the UFC Vegas bubble is right now. So that's not a good sign. That something's there's some holes, some leaks in that bubble, and that's a bad thing. So I hope that gets that sucks. That just sucks.
15,000 fans, Vistar veterans, Column in Jacksonville, Florida, coming soon. 19,000 fans, I believe, Toyota Center in Houston coming soon. So,
and Miami is just shutting down. They're now out. I don't want to get into this. Jeez, let's talk fights. I have next week to get into this.
All right, what else we got?
All right. Oh man, I was trying to focus on this card and
that's big news.
I know. You're right, of course.
And pretend we can't stick our head in the sand when it comes to these things.
Of course we can. There we go.
Max Griffin called out Jeff Neal for his next fight. Think he's ready to get a top 15 fighter. I think I tweeted the exact words were Max Griffin called out Jeff Neal for a fight at UFC 262 and a $50,000 bonus. I think he's going to get one of those two. And he got the one of the two that I thought he was going to get. I mean, if they made it, fine. Like, shoot your shot, kid. I like it. I just don't know if – I don't think he gets that fight.
I think it's going to – what he has going for him is if Jeff Neal really wants to fight in Houston and if Max Griffin is, like, the guy to do it. I think that's a huge – it's not like they're calling out to fight in the Apex. Like, we've seen fight – like, I remember John Moraga fought Willie Gates just so he could fight in Phoenix. So it's like – I think that plays – that's going to be in Max Griffin's favor, but you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, if they make it, it's a fun fight. I'd definitely watch it.
That was a smart call out. That's what he called it. Yeah, that was a smart call out.
Great call out.
I'm just looking at his record. So he's technically fought guys in the top 15 before, though some of them I think before they were top 15. So I'm just looking. He had losses to Colby Covington, Eliseu Zaleski, Thiago Alves. Probably wasn't in the top 15 anymore. I don't think when 2019 probably not. And then Alex Oliveira, who I think also was not in the top 15. I believe when they fought UFC 248. So he has fought guys who have kind of been in top 15 or on the top 15 area. So yeah, it's not a question that he gets someone, even if it's not Jeff Neal. But I'll have to look at the ranking. I'll have to look at the official rankings. So he's an interesting guy, Griffin. You know, he's been competitive in so many fights. He has on paper a losing UFC record. So I mean, that's not the prettiest thing to look at, but he's really been incompetive. He's beaten Mike Perry, you know.
But like that, like he definitely beat Thiago Alves. Mm-hmm. And I think he beat Cowboy Oliveira. Cowboy fight, it was obviously a lot closer. That wasn't a robbery. I think Thiago Alves over Max Griffin was a robbery.
I remember that. There was a lot of controversy.
I think his record is not indicative of his skill set.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. He's competitive. And he's getting better.
He's competitive with almost anyone. Yeah, really. Mm-hmm.
And he's got that dad motivation now. So, watch out.
Colby was his first fight in the UFC, right? That was like his debut.
Was it his? It was his first, yes. Yeah. UFC 202.
Connor,
right? Yeah, 202. So, I'm going to take two more questions. So, because it's like super late.
So, anyone watching, get your questions in, please. You can ask anything. We love John Danion, but John Danion's making you guys look like fools right now, right?
Yeah, I know.
Get your questions in, people. You can ask anything.
The matchmaking questions are all going to be answered tomorrow, my friends, by me and AK. But if you guys, Jose and Casey, want to chime in about Tai Tuivasa maybe cracking the top 15, I don't think that's a top 15 type of win, beating Harry Hunsucker, but
it's a good pick.
He's close. If he gets a top 15, it'll probably be 15, maybe 14, like a fight to get him into the top. But I don't think he's going to be ranked.
You know, but I wouldn't see why not. I mean, because UFC, like, what, they let Haftar heavyweights go recently. So
yeah. What is the top 15 anymore?
Yeah. He might be ranked by default.
Yeah, he might be ranked by default. Yeah,
because you're not – that's a good point. That is a good point because Overeem Dos Santos got cut and Struve just retired.
Yeah.
So that's three spaces that just opened
and
up.
And we don't know what's up with Curtis Blaydes either. I mean,
that's true.
I know Curtis Blaydes.
Olenek.
We don't know what's up with Olenek. You know, I don't know. Is Arlovski booked or is he coming off a loss? Is he coming off a loss? I can't remember.
He's got Aspinall, submitted by Aspinall.
Yeah, so who knows?
I already beat him.
You're right. Correct.
Chicago.
Remember that last card with Spivak, Aspinall, and who was the other guy? The other heavyweight guy on there, and Dacus. Remember, and we're all like, which one of these guys could end up being in the top 15 with a win? And then, like the week later, JDS and Overeem were released. We're like, I guess they're all in the top 15 now.
Spivak's still not in the top 15 though.
He's still not in there. Nope. He's been in there before, hasn't he? Been in the 15 spot before? He's never been ranked 15.
Like, I think he might have been 15 at one point for like
15. Up. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was. Yeah.
Spivak already beat Tuivasa. In a massive stadium in Melbourne.
I could see him getting a top 15 guy for sure. There's only how many heavyweights they even have now? Like 25, maybe 30, heavyweights now.
Well, yeah, there's a certain heavyweight that a new heavyweight that lives in Albuquerque. He used to fight at 205. I'm not saying he'll fight Tuivasa, but that's he's gonna be there soon too.
I would love if John Jones's first fight heavyweight was tied to Tuivasa, or even better, Harry Hunsucker. That would be fantastic.
That would like Tuivasa from AKA gets revenge for Daniel Cormier. Sign it up.
Ooh,
there's only
sell to sell.
There's only one ant. There's only one answer to this question, and you'll find out tomorrow. There's only one correct answer to Ty Duivas' next fight.
You tease.
What's a tease?
There's only one.
All right, so we're going to take
one answer.
Yeah, we're going to take one more question. I like this question. New commenter, too. I don't recognize this name, so here we go.
First time, long time. What do you think Holland's potential is at welterweight? There's a lot of good wrestlers in that division as well.
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of potential, but the thing about it's not just the move to welterweight that fascinates me. It's the fact that he knows he needs discipline and that the move to 170 will force him to get that discipline that he has admitted that he's never gotten. He's done all this just based on God-given talents and being able to walk on the scale and weigh 185. And now he's going to like put in some extra work to get down to 170, like change his lifestyle a little bit, you know, put away the cheeseburgers. And he said he basically eats and does whatever he wants. Now he has to, you know, focus, fine tune himself as a professional athlete. I think he could be a legit 170-er. No doubt about that. He's going to be the longest, lengthiest 170-er out there.
He's a legit middleweight.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. You're right. If he can make welterweight healthy, and that's on him. That's not on I know we can talk about weight cuts. You know, that's a discussion to be had. But he can make welterweight, and if he can do it healthy, not do drastic weight cuts, but do it, you know, how you're supposed to. Absolutely, Kevin Holland can be a serious threat at welterweight, and I've been kind of waiting for this, and this was actually kind of my prediction coming into tonight. I thought Derek Brunson's size will kind of show Holland, all right, you know, I hit my ceiling, and now hello welterweights. That's why I don't think Holland lost that much tonight outside of, you know, a paycheck, and I'm excited about it, and that's a very good point that you make, Mike, about the discipline that it is a definite lifestyle change and a commitment to the weight class. So it definitely can make him a much better fighter. But then again, it can make it not fun. And he's a guy that likes to have fun. So who knows?
Dude, give him Bilal, man. Give him Bilal.
That makes a lot of sense.
262. Do it in Houston.
That makes a lot of sense.
He'll turn around and fight in May in his home in Texas.
Oh, yeah. You're right. There you go. He lives up in Dallas, right? Up Dallas area,
Fort Worth. Yeah,
yeah. It's like a three hour drive south.
Well, now Hamzat called him to help. I'm sure Kevin Holland wants time to make 170. Hamzat needs time to recover.
Unkind things to say about Hamzat and how Hamzat has dealt with COVID-19, to put it nicely. But 15 pounds is a lot. That's one thing that's a bit different. Yeah. The difference between middleweight and welterweight is a lot.
I am all in on him fighting in Houston. I just don't know if that's enough time. To get his body right.
You're right. That would be.
And dangerous. The other thing that thank you for the question, Ron Willie, about the wrestlers. Like, you know, his main concern is there's a lot of wrestlers at 170. The weight thing will make a difference. No, he's not wrong. But Holland will be bigger at welterweight, which is good. That helps. That helps a lot. It's not going to fix all his wrestling deficiencies, but it helps a lot. Two, I don't know if you use tonight as like, oh, he has no wrestling based on tonight. Derek Brunson is an elite wrestler. Yes. And an elite MMA wrestler. He's a very, very good MMA wrestler. I don't know how he would do whatever. And, you know, there was the NCAA, you know, championships tonight, right? I don't know if he's going to be able to roll with those guys at this age. But it's a totally different thing. In MMA, he's a proven, very, very high-level MMA wrestler. First time taken down today. Had never been taken down in a UFC fight. Holland was the first one to do it. So that shows how good he is as a wrestler, that it took that long for someone to take him down. So, yes, there are guys like that at 172, of course. But just because of what happened tonight doesn't mean that all the guys in 170 can do it to him. They're maybe the top of the top, but again, once you reach the top 10, if you make it to the top 10, I consider you a success. So yeah, he could actually be a top 10 welterweight.
Yeah,
and I like Santiago. The Santiago fight would be fun too because he's unranked.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And like I said about Holland too, I know some people want to crap on him or whatever, but like I thought Holland fought great tonight. He just was not, he's just in the wrong weight class at that high level. And yeah, and like you said, he had Derek Brunson on top of him for like 20 minutes and Kevin Holland was never in any serious danger of getting finished. And I think that's very impressive. So
Casey, he needs to work on his manners. There you
go. Yeah.
He's rude. Casey, he's rude.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. I'm sorry. Because the show's almost over. I got to get my 2 cents in. He's rude.
I don't know how much he, like, if he's ever dabbled in 10th plan or whatever, or how flexible he is. But, like, Casey, when he grabbed his shin, I was like, oh, so he's getting into mission control. And then he just, like, put it in the regular arm triangle. I'm like, like, his setups were so weird. He was using, like, 10th planet setups just to, like, get a regular arm, like, a body lock. I was like, oh. Again, like, just keep progressing. Don't just stop at step two.
The guy's very talented. I think
Derek Brunson was, like, trying to posture up. And Kevin Holland, like, grabs his leg. I was like, oh, this is smart. Because then you could, like, trap him up there and just start elbowing him from the bottom. And he just didn't.
Yeah.
Kevin Holland is what? He's 28 years old. He's not even in his prime yet, which is pretty scary.
How much did he weigh on the scale?
183.
He's smaller than Darren Till, right?
He's done that before, too. He's weighed in at 183 before, too.
He's definitely smaller.
He's smaller than Izzy, and Izzy's not a big middleweight.
I don't know.
So,
yeah, he's smaller than Izzy.
Yeah, he's the smallest elite middleweight in the UFC. So he's going to actually be a regular size welterweight. Yeah.
Gaslam's pretty small.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gaslam, too. Yeah.
Gaslam should be a welterweight, too, but he's really good middleweight.
There's too many in and outs down here. All right. Anything else to talk about, gentlemen?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Make sure you,
how great if the, you haven't great done the viewers stuff, are.
Yes. Go ahead. AK.
Rule. You guys rule. That's what I said. I just love the viewers. We have just under almost 900 people watching on a random fight night card. We have a bigger one next week, and it'll be even more. But I love everyone watching. So thank you guys watching, commenting.
And the first thing you do after you get off with this is go to the wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the MMA Fighting Podcasting channel, do that now, because at some point tomorrow, probably late morning on the East Coast, on to the next one's going to drop, and me and AK are going to get after the matchmaking, the fastest growing MMA podcast in the world. Probably not, but it's growing, ladies and gentlemen. It's all because of you. So until then, for AK, Jose, Casey, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
I'm going to go watch Ryzen now.
March Madness is already over.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.